The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. If you have one of the Bibles from the back of the pew, you can follow along on page 807. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is God's word.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Well, welcome to Life Connection again. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. Grateful you're with us. In 2017, the American Atheist Organization annual Christmas billboard said, skip church, it's all fake news. And according to a spokesperson for the organization, they said that this fake news extends to things like talking snakes and, yes, virgin births. The virgin birth has been a lightning rod of skepticism and contention for a very long time. It's often thought that the only reason that the virgin birth is believed in is based upon some pre-scientific kind of latter age that was unsophisticated, didn't understand how the world works, and was more prone to believe and predisposed to believe these sorts of mythical kind of ideas. And yet, the Christian faith has contended since the very earliest days that Jesus was indeed born of a virgin. And so, there have been moves over the last 100+ years to try to modernize Christianity, to eliminate supernatural elements, to make Christianity more palatable to modern sensibilities and those kinds of things, removing elements such as the virgin birth. And yet, in many ways, the virgin birth during that time of this contention in the early 20th century became kind of a litmus test for Christian orthodoxy. You might have been able to work your way around the notion of Jesus' resurrection, describing it as some kind of resurrection of the heart and those sorts of things. But it was really difficult to get around the idea of a virgin birth, a miraculous spirit conception. And yet, that is exactly what the historic Christian faith has believed, and for good reason. The creed affirms that belief because it is at the very center of God's plan for cosmic redemption. It's at the center of his good news message. And so it's affirmed by the creed and affirmed by Christians for good reason, because it matters. And so that's what we want to do this morning, is consider what is the significance of the virgin birth, and why does the virgin birth matter? Why is it good news for all those who trust in Christ? Those are the kinds of things that we want to explore this morning. What we're going to see this morning is that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. That's what we want to consider. And so why does the virgin birth matter? Because the virgin birth, at the very outset, makes a way for the idea of incarnation. That is God becoming a man. God taking on flesh. Look again at verse 18 of our passage. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. The virgin birth makes the incarnation possible. I mean, this really begins the very culmination of God's plan for redemption in and through Christ. Jesus coming, the second person of the Trinity, God himself taking upon human flesh, is the way in which God comes near to bring about his plan of redemption and salvation for people like you and me. By God's work in and through Christ, he has made a way for us to come back into his family. And this happens because of the conception by the Holy Spirit in the womb of this faithful teenage girl. And this is a unique claim that Christians make. There's no religion in the rest of the world that makes this kind of claim that God took on flesh, became earthy, and dwelt among us. Nobody else makes that kind of claim. And so because of that, it's natural to understand why there are all kinds of objections to the virgin birth and the incarnation. All kinds of questions. I mean, many say that it's just completely impossible. This isn't how biology works. This isn't possible at all. And again, it's seen as some sort of kind of pre-scientific affirmation that now, in light of all that we know, we should easily be able to set it to the side. And yet, Joseph himself isn't more prone and disposed to believe in virgin births. I mean, he has questions. He doesn't have Mary come to him and go, oh my gosh, well, of course, it's Tuesday, virgin birth. That makes sense. Like, there's not this notion in the ancient world. Like, they had an understanding of the birds and the bees. They may not have understood all the intricacies, but they understood how pregnancy happened. They understood how conception took place, what was required. And so Joseph isn't just more predisposed to the idea of a virgin birth than you and I might be. It's also claimed that the incarnation, the virgin birth, it's just unnecessary. I mean, this is really at the heart of most deconstruction stories in our day. Like, there's nothing wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with our world. You're beautiful as you are. Embrace yourself. There's nothing wrong. And yet, when we're left to our own, when all I have are my thoughts, like there's this sense that something's not right. Like, not every aspect of who I am at the deepest part of my being is just amazing and wonderful and beautiful. Like, we understand that there is great disarray in our lives. There's great disarray in our world, in our relationships. We experience dysfunction all the time. In some ways, we're the cause and the instigation of that dysfunction. Like, and so we have this understanding that not everything's just aright in our world, in our lives. And so at the end of the day, like, if the God that we say we believe in, the God of the Scriptures who has revealed himself in the way that he has described himself, if that God exists, and the reality is this is his world, and if this is his world, then he's able to engage in it. He's able to bring about his plan and his purposes on his terms, by his means. And he often chooses extremely unlikely ways and circumstances to move. I mean, we're going to see that his plan of redemption, it comes through these people, the Israelites, this unknown clan, this small tribe of people. And yet God takes and does something through them, not because they're great, not because they're mighty, but because he's great. And by his grace, he can move in all kinds of ways. And so if this is his world, then we need to understand that he can step in and do something about the disarray in our lives. Do something about the disorder in our world. The virgin birth matters because God came near. And it's necessary for God to come near. Because the problems that reside within can't find their solution from within. We need someone from the outside to provide us the resources to find healing, to find redemption. And only that can come as God enters into our reality. And it's because God is so great that he came near. Like, that's the unlikely truth that's shown to us by way of the virgin birth. Is that God in his greatness, he comes near. He doesn't stand off at a distance. He's not aloof. He's not uninvolved. He's not disengaged. He's not unconcerned. But because he is so engaged, because he is so concerned, he comes, takes on flesh, dwells amongst us, that he might take on our problems, our shame, our guilt, our brokenness, and bring about healing and redemption. Nobody looks at a father who stands off at a distance watching his children play, unwilling to stoop down and get on the floor and play Legos or Barbies. Nobody looks at that father and thinks, here's a great man. No, the greatness of a father is when he is on that floor, playing with his children, engaged in their lives, and that's the kind of God that we have. One who has come and stepped into our reality. And so Jesus is the Lord who saves. That's what his name means. You shall call him Jesus. Why? Because the Lord saves. And Jesus is God come near. And so the virgin birth matters. It matters because God has to come near if we're to find hope in this world. And so God became a man. The supernatural became natural. The transcendent drew near. The invulnerable became vulnerable. The unique became ordinary. God became a man. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Why does the virgin birth matter? Because it is the very entry point for God's culminating redemptive plan of salvation in and through Jesus. But what is the significance of this virgin birth for our lives? Like, why does this matter? And so we're going to start out broad. We're going to start looking cosmically, and then we're going to drill down and consider what it means for us personally. But the virgin birth, it secures Jesus' identity as the God-man. The virgin birth secures Jesus' identity as the God-man. This is the very meaning of the incarnation. God took on flesh. God became a man. He incarnated, dwelt among us. That's the very meaning of incarnation. And what we see then is that Jesus is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. We have God's work. And we have humanity's work. We see God coming near in the person of Jesus, taking on flesh, conceived of the Spirit, born of a woman. Both of those elements are essential for salvation. Jesus had to be God so that he could take on the weight and the punishment, the penalty of all of the world's sin. Of all time, past, present, and future, if he's merely a man, only a man, then he can't do that. He could be a substitute and sacrifice for one other, maybe, but he could not be a sacrifice for all of humanity. And he had to be fully man. He had to be a human because he had to be an adequate substitute for us. He had to have flesh and blood so that he could represent us. One church father put it this way: what is not assumed is not healed. And so he took on all of humanity. He took it all on, flesh and blood, so that we could find healing and restoration in him. Otherwise, there's none to be found. So the virgin birth, it secures the very identity of Jesus as the God-man. The virgin birth fulfills God's promise of a Messiah through Israel. You see, in God's plan and purpose that began all the way back, his redemptive plan that began all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, as the man and the woman choose to go their own way, they choose to rebel and to reject God's loving leadership over them. Consequences for their sin are being leveled, and yet God in that moment says that he's going to step in and he's going to crush the one who has deceived them. And from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God's plan for restoration and redemption has been put in place, has begun. And Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan. In fact, that's why it says in verse 22 and 23, that this is to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. You see, Jesus' life, his ministry, his death, and ultimately resurrection and ascension, it was all part of God's plan for redemption. And it was, this plan was to be brought about through an Israelite, a very small group of people, an unlikely source of God's cosmic redemptive work to come through. They're not powerful, they're not mighty, they're not a world superpower, and yet God has chosen to use them as his instrument to bring salvation to the world. And so Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy, not just that Jesus is the God-man, but move in more tightly, he is the God-man who is an Israelite. That is, he can be the rightful Messiah, rescuer, redeemer. You know, some of us might wonder, like, what's Joseph's role in all of this? I mean, throughout church history, he's called Quiet Joseph because he is not, there are no words from Joseph recorded in any of the Gospels. He speaks no words. And so what's his role? What part does he play? On the one hand, he plays the part of being an adequate witness that Mary is indeed a virgin. This indeed is true of her. But even more than that, as the angel speaks to Joseph and addresses him, Joseph, son of David, we're reminded that because of Joseph, Jesus has the right messianic lineage. The rescuer, the redeemer, is supposed to come through the line of David, and here he is. So Joseph demonstrates that Jesus is indeed the rightful Messiah who is to come through Israel. So the virgin birth, it secures Jesus' identity. It ensures the fulfillment of God's promises to bring a rescuer through Israel. But the virgin birth also demonstrates God's love and care for you and me. Like in a very personal, practical way. This isn't just some abstract theological notion. Like look at the amazing thing that God did. Yes, indeed. But that amazing thing was done for people like you and me. That we might see in this virgin birth the inbreaking of God's kingdom. Like God had promised to do a new thing, to bring about redemption, restoration to lives and to the entire cosmos. And now he's doing that. The Spirit of God that hovered over the depths in Genesis chapter 1, bringing about God's creation of all things, now is at work bringing about the conception of the Son of God in the flesh. something new, something amazing is happening in this moment. The inbreaking of God's kingdom is to be seen here. God is indeed continuing to do his work of redemption and restoration, and it's to be seen through the work of Jesus, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. And so then when we hear the words of Jesus and his invitation to come, all those who are heavy laden with burdens, weighted down by the cares of this world, come and find rest in him. Those words should take on new meaning and significance for us in this moment. God has come near to make a way that you and I can unload our burdens and find rest in him. I know that in this room there are a lot of us right now who are carrying heavy loads. Your minds, your hearts are burdened. You're weary. You're tired. And you're looking for a place to find some rest. And what we need to understand is the birth of the God-man, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, is the good news that we need in this moment. See, God is at work in and through Christ in such a way that we can indeed offload those burdens. We can indeed unload that shame, that guilt, that heavy load that you feel yourself just carrying along every day from the moment you wake to the moment you sleep. And yet Jesus invites us to come and to find rest. See, the virgin birth isn't just some amazing divine miracle. It's a work of God for people like you and me. He's not merely trying to show off what he can do. I mean, it does that, right? But he's not just trying to show off. But he's trying to show us that in Christ we can find rest. And so whatever you brought through those doors with you this morning, he's inviting you to unload that at his feet, to come and to follow him. Because unlike that load you've been carrying that's heavy, that's burdensome, his load is light and it brings rest. And that rest that he intends to give us isn't only for the here and now. Like the reality is this, we're going to continue to carry a burden with us through this life. But there is a rest to come, an eternal rest. And that eternal rest is brought to us by virtue of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so the virgin birth matters. Like, it's crazy, right? I mean, but if you follow the God of the Scriptures, we affirm some pretty bizarre things. And the reality is, it's good news. And that if there is a God who exists, and this is indeed his world, then he can conceive by the Holy Spirit and bring about the birth of Jesus through a virgin. And that provides us good news for today. And so in this moment, then, I think the invitation is to come to Jesus and to find hope and life in him, to unload that burden of guilt and shame that you've been carrying with you this week, this life, to find rest in him, to find hope of salvation to come, and to think on the virgin birth with awe and worship. Like to let these realities settle in your mind and your heart, as we think upon what God is telling us in this passage, that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, that as we think on those realities, it would bring great hope to our lives, that we might be moved to worship as response. God did this for you and for me. And not just for us as individuals, but for his people, his family. See, the Spirit of God is shown up in this passage, reminding us of his activity and his work in Jesus' conception. But we also see the Spirit of God at work in Christ in his life and his ministry all throughout. And that Spirit who animates Jesus' life is given to his people, the church, that we might live a life that honors him, that we might, like Joseph, walk in just quiet, simple, faithful obedience. Maybe the question we need to ask is this week, what step of faithful obedience do I need to take in my life? I mean, if quiet Joseph teaches us anything, it's that simple, quiet, faithful obedience matters. And empowered by the Spirit of God, we can look to Joseph as a sort of example for us. I mean, the longer that I live, the more important it seems that kind of simple, quiet, unassuming, unseen, faithful obedience is. Like that matters. It shapes us into certain kinds of people. People who look more and more like Jesus before a watching world. And he's doing that work not just in us as individuals, but as his people. That together, our life together might display something of God's greatness before a watching world. That we might be empowered to live for his mission. I mean, that's what the virgin birth reminds. It's all about the mission of God in our world. Bringing his plan to culmination in the person and work of Christ. And so this morning, like what might it look like for us to rest in Jesus in such a way that we just sit in awe and worship for a minute, thinking upon what God has done for us in and through Christ by virtue of the virgin birth, that we might be moved as an act of worship to live and walk in just simple, faithful obedience this week. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that you have indeed spoken to us by it. God, would you meet us in this moment, right here, right now, that we could experience something of your grace and mercy and kindness, that your Spirit might be at work in us and among us to live as your people. That we might honor you with just simple, faithful obedience this week. Would you work in us, empower us to live those kinds of lives? To be the kinds of people who are resting in Jesus, offloading our burdens to him, not trying to carry those on our own any longer. Would you help us to help others find life in Jesus that they might do the same? Use us as your people in those kinds of ways. We pray all these things by Jesus' name. Amen.